Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
God is good. Amen. All the time. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. We'll skip the hellos for all the introverts. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's good that you showed up to church this Sunday morning. Amen. And in a moment, I'm gonna have you stand up again. But I did want to announce a few things that we have coming up this week. We have our night of worship this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. Man, and I'm excited. I've been waiting for weeks for this night of worship. So we ask you to join us and just come and just be filled by the Spirit of God amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. That's going to be this Wednesday at 7. Y'all going to come, right? Let me know. Let me know I'm coming. Amen. 7 o'clock. Also, we are asking for our Resurrection Sunday, the big Easter weekend that we do. We have Good Friday. We have a big event here on Saturday. And then we have our Resurrection Sunday service. We're asking if you are planning to bring your family to our Easter event out here that we do for the whole family, for the kids. We've got all kinds of stuff. We're asking you to register because last time we had a lot of people come out and not everybody registered. So we want you to register at mynumachurch.org/Easter Saturday. Amen. So y'all go there, just register, let us know that you're coming. And also, one more thing. Easter service, Resurrection Sunday. Last year, we packed the house. We had more people than we had seats, and we have since bought more chairs. Praise God. Thank you for that. But also we want to just plan accordingly. And so what we're going to do this coming Resurrection Sunday, please look when after service, when we tell you this again, you'll be like, what, when was that announcement made? It's right now. It's right. I'm making the announcement right now. So let me have your attention on this. Okay. Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday this year, we're going to be pushing back our service to 11:30. We want to give ample time for the first service to clear out and the parking lot to not be as full. And we want to start right at 11:30. If you need to come at like 11:20, 11:15 to make sure you get a good spot, that's cool. But 11:30, we're going to start. Amen. Y'all going to be here, right? Okay, don't be like, nah, it's too late. It's just 30 minutes. All right, we'll be okay. And also, here, give me one more. We're going to test this out because we know how people don't get the memo, even though you get the memo. We're going to test this out the week before. So Palm Sunday, we're also going to do this at 11:30. 11:30, Palm Sunday, 11:30, Easter Sunday. You got it? Let me know you got it. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's it. That's all the announcements I've got. I want you to stand with me as we turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 16. We're going to read through 28. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples as he sends them out to spread the news of the gospel. And I want to take this passage that is probably perceived as irrelevant and not relatable. And I want to make it relatable because I believe that it still is. Amen. So you ready to go? Matthew 10, 16. I have it up here. Jesus says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you will say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated for all my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And going down to verse 26, he says, so have no fear of them. Somebody say them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and whatever you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, my God, humbled servant, Father God. I'm just asking that you would speak this word to your people, Lord, as I have received it, my God. I pray that your spirit would speak through me, my God, that there would be nothing of me in this sermon, but all of you, my God. And I pray that you bring truth and power and conviction, my God, and healing through this word of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take your seat. I'm gonna offer a disclaimer this morning. I didn't realize that Pneuma Kids was going to be closed. So I asked our children's pastors, hey, let me get that schedule because I need to make sure in my sermon that it's a little bit more kid friendly. Today's not going to be too kid friendly. I'm just letting you know. It's not like rated R or anything, but it's just we're going to be talking about some things that are true that need to be talked about. But you might have to have a conversation with them afterwards. So the sermon I entitled Afraid to Fear. Afraid to fear, and that'll make sense in a little bit, but I want to bring a word that is really centered on the last part of this passage. Jesus is challenging his disciples to not be afraid to proclaim the gospel in the cities that he knows are going to be unwelcoming, among crowds that he knows might become violent, and among authorities and kings who might be intimidating. Jesus says, don't fear them because they can only harm the body. And as I was thinking about all of this, I was studying this word. I came across a story of a 16th century bishop named Hugh Littimer. And he was this very bold preacher who would preach against the corruption of the England church. And one day he was invited to preach in front of King Henry VIII. And so as you can imagine, this preacher is preaching before a king, a very powerful man. And he reports saying to himself, the king is going to be here. Be careful what you say. And then immediately he said that the Holy Spirit convicted him and he had to change that wording. He said, the king is going to be here. Be careful what you don't say. Don't fear the man who can destroy the body, but cannot destroy the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul. And so this man, eventually he was burned at the stake for his faith, for his preaching. But he feared more the God who can destroy both soul and body. And so it's that type of fear that Jesus is telling his disciples to carry. You know, Jesus is always telling his disciples to do things that are countercultural, right? And that's what he's doing here. Again, he's telling this group of men that he's sending them out as sheep among wolves, but not to be afraid of the wolves. Well, that's the very thing that sheep are afraid of. Sheep are afraid of wolves. They run from wolves like that. It's like fear is embedded in the example that Jesus is choosing to use. That's what sheep do. They run. They hide from wolves. I've never met a sheep who goes in wolf territory confident that he's not going to get killed, right? But Jesus is saying, I am sending you out. And so when Jesus is saying this, he is acknowledging the natural instinct that people have to fear, but he's calling them to fear something else instead. And he's using all of this ominous language, right? He's saying, beware of the men who will do this to you. Look out for those who are going to drag you into the courts. Watch out for those who are going to rise up against their parents. Be alert and be ready. Be on guard. Be ready to flee the town when they start to chase you. Be watchful of the wolves in the den of wolves that I am sending you into. Be watchful. But, don't fear any of that. Rather, fear the one who is calling you to that. Now, this is why I think this passage is perceived as unrelatable to us Christians today, because we don't have the fears that the disciples had. You know, when I think of the persecuted church, this is what I think about. I think about how in some places you can't gather like this. You can't gather like this. You can't you can't gather in huge gatherings of Christians worshiping the name of Jesus without, you know, fear of being arrested. We don't have that here. I think about how in some countries it's illegal to be a professing Christian and the fear that might exist among those Christians. The early church had so much to fear, and they're spreading the gospel, and yet Jesus is telling them, don't be afraid of them. Last week we talked about the thems in our life. Everybody's got a they in our lives, right? There's always somebody. Who are the they? Who are the thems that you might be afraid of when it comes to speaking about Jesus? I hope nobody, because we're a fired up group of Christians, right? Can't contain our love for Jesus. But you know, it doesn't feel like Jesus is even speaking to us in this passage, because look, we can live stream these services. We're live streaming right now, and I could say Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we'll probably be here next week, right? Be able to do that again. We can go out to the streets and we can preach the name of Jesus. In fact, Numa Closet did that just yesterday. Praise God. And Debbie brought a word in the streets speaking Jesus. We don't have the same fears that the disciples had of fearing those who kill the body. But as I was thinking about all this, I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me, well, what else are you afraid of? We don't relate to the disciples, so we might read this passage and we're like, I'm good. I'm not afraid of something I don't need to be afraid of. I'm not afraid of something that's not a threat. But what else do we fear that limits us from carrying the gospel everywhere we go? Maybe it's not a physical fear, but maybe it's a cultural fear. Maybe it's a mental fear. Maybe it's an emotional fear. Maybe it's some type of social anxiety. And so maybe the reason so many Christians are uncomfortable sharing their faith and taking the gospel to certain places is because they're afraid of something. You're afraid of having that conversation with that family member because you know it stirs up trouble. You're afraid to have those deep-rooted conversations with people at your place of work that go beyond the simple, hey, come to church with me, because of some type of fear that might not be physical. You don't think that they're going to beat you up or anything, but it's still a fear of some sort. And Jesus is saying, don't fear them. Don't fear that. Don't replace the fear of God with something that's got less power. I was talking to a pastor on Tuesday. This pastor got invited to the White House. By some random connection, he was invited to the White House. And so he's in this room full of, you know, national leaders and congressmen and business leaders and politicians and all sorts of very influential and powerful people. He's in this room in the White House. And all of a sudden, I don't know exactly what it is. It might be like a faith gathering of leaders, but he was asked to pray. And he was like, you want me to pray? Like, I'm just this random pastor from a hood in Houston. You want me to pray? And they say, yeah, we're asking you to pray. And this pastor says, okay, well, I'm going to pray. But if I pray, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. Like, I'm not going to, you know, like I'm not going to just throw out a generic prayer to a generic God. You know, that's, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And so he starts to pray. And you know how, you know, sometimes when you're asked to pray, And you know, in like a influential environment, you start all cordial and eloquent, and unless you're Pentecostals, you just go straight there, right? But like, you know, you start, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering of leaders today in this house that have been anointed and called for such a time as this. You know how we all do that, right? Well, sometimes when you're praying, you kind of strike a spiritual warfare nerve, right? And then all of a sudden you go from like 0 to 10 in like 5 seconds. And so this pastor's like, man, I got there, man. I started rebuking some evil spirits from the White House. I started casting out some demons and some devils. He was like, man, I called out a spirit of witchcraft in the room. He was like, I thought there was this lady who was demon possessed. I started rebuking her in Jesus' name. And he's doing all these in the name of Jesus. And he's like, man, the Holy Spirit filled me and filled that room. And it was crazy. And I'm just in awe of him telling me this. And I'm cheering him. I'm like, man, yes, we need more people like that who would stand up and boldly declare the name of Jesus in dark places. And so after that whole conversation with him, I started to think, man, how many Christians have been silenced by like political correctness? I think that's a fear. Christians have been told to calm down, and we've listened. Can't talk about Jesus in the workplace. Can't talk about Jesus in the public schools. You can't talk about Jesus in front of large scale audiences that might include a wide range of people coming from different backgrounds and different religious beliefs. And we've placed our passions that are so evident in the church under submission to a secular culture and secular authorities. And for a long time, the church was told to be respectful and, you know, we can do our own thing and we can gather and we can have a church and we don't even have to pay taxes and praise the Lord. But let's keep church and state separate. And let's not get too crazy. And let's not get too loud. And let's make sure to leave Jesus out of like the media and out of like the culture and out of like the public places. But the gospel of Jesus was not meant to be contained to the walls of the church. It's meant to be brought before nations and kings and kingdoms and leaders, right? And people who need to be brought to their knees in repentance. But we have to keep the fear of God above our fear of people. And I'm not saying that you got to go out and start, you know, disrespecting your boss, okay? Keep things orderly, that, you know, the Bible does command us to be subject to authorities. I just think that we need the reminder to not fear the things that can kill the body or even kill the reputation or even kill the relationship or even kill the possibility of a promotion. We need to fear the one who can kill both body and soul. So maybe we don't have the same fears as the early church. Nobody's out here trying to arrest Christians for going to church, not here. But we do fear people, and we fear opinions, and we fear the masses, and we fear the culture. We fear being in certain rooms. We fear looking too weird. We fear looking too Christian and oversaved. We fear more things and more people than we fear God, but we still have responsibility to go out and make disciples. Every single person in this room, if you've received Jesus, if you are being made into the image of Christ, you, somebody say me, have a responsibility to make disciples. It's not just the job of the pastor. It's not just the pastoral team. It's not just the leaders. It's the believers. It's you sitting in that seat right now. You have an obligation given to you by Jesus to make disciples in this dark world. And so we have to get over our social fears, man. We got to get over the cultural fears. We have to get over the things that are silencing a church that carries so much power that is the gospel of Christ, and go back to fearing the God who commands us to go out and preach this gospel. You with me? It's been about 2 years since I preached about the fear of the Lord. And it's so important that we get this. And I know we've grown a lot since 2 years ago. So if you weren't here then, I'm going to say it now, and if you did hear it then, I'm going to say it again so you can get it. We have to make sure that we don't mistake our love for God for fear of God. Because you can love God and not fear God. That's very, very possible. And the problem with people who acknowledge Jesus as Savior is that sometimes they don't treat him as Lord. When we accept Jesus in our lives as Savior and Lord, what are we doing? We are agreeing to love him as our Savior. I can't even love him without him loving me first. And he showed me his love in this. Romans 5:9 says, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So because Jesus, you love me, because you died for me, you gave your life for me, because you saved me when I was unworthy to be saved, I will love you back because I have to. I owe it to you, God. I was dead in the trespasses of my sin. I was unseen by everybody else. I was headed straight to hell and eternal damnation. But you saw me and you saved me when no man could save me, when I couldn't save myself, when no amount of good works and good deeds and good charities could save me from the pit that I was in. You came down and you reached for me. That's why I love you. That's why I love you, and that's why we worship the God that we love. But Jesus, you are also my Lord. And so I must honor you and submit to you as Lord, because you didn't just save me. You saved me to lead me to righteousness. You saved me to give me confidence of who I am called to be in you. You saved me to obey your commands, even though it makes me uncomfortable, and even though I might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because you are Lord. I will not fear them. I will not fear the valley. I will not fear the darkness. I will fear you because you are my Lord. What do you fear? Who do you fear? I want to zoom in here on this verse 26. And this is where it might get a little kid unfriendly. But it's the gospel. So Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's something like a gangster would say, right? Like, don't fear the one who runs the block. Fear the one who runs these streets, you know? Like, I don't know. I know that's what gangsters say. I grew up near the Woodlands. Yeah, I don't know. Sounds good, right? Something I would say. But that's what he's saying. Don't fear the guy who can kill the body. Fear the one who can kill the body and the soul. And when we talk about the fear of God, you know, a lot of people like to leave out the real stuff when we talk about the fear of God. We try to be very careful with it when we talk about the fear of God. Well, why do we fear God? That's a genuine question that people have when we talk about the fear of God. Why should I fear God? And so we try to do all these mental and theological gymnastics to not really give an answer that needs to be said. And we say, well, we need to fear disappointing God. God doesn't want to be disappointed in us. We need to fear grieving the Holy Spirit because when we sin, he cries. It's like we don't want to make God sound like a big old meanie, but he's also not this giant teddy bear either, you know. He is a gracious God. He is an all-loving God who gave his one and only son for us to free us from sin. That is the God that we worship. That's the God that we'd like to talk about. That's why we love him. But there is more to fear of God than we like to talk about. And Jesus isn't sugarcoating anything. He said, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And if this was on social media, they might bleep out that word hell because everybody's sensitive to it. But Jesus says, hey, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You know, I was thinking about this, like a lot of old school preachers, I think we talked about this before, Pastor Danny, a lot of old school preachers would like preach hellfire and brimstone, and they would put the fear of God in you, man. You wouldn't leave the church. Well, I ain't going to hell. Oh, man. And we used to have those preachers, man. Back in the day, I was like, man, I better get my life right today. But the challenge with that type of preaching is that maybe you have the fear of God, but you never develop a love for God. And I've seen that. I've seen Christians just walking around super anxious about everything. Every single thing. They don't even want to put up a Christmas tree because it's pagan. If I put up this Christmas tree, I'm going to hell, Pastor. I might have struck a nerve there with somebody. We'll keep going. Today we talk a lot about the grace of God and the love of God, and that might make you love God, but you never develop a fear of God. So we have to find a way to balance both, you know, because we got to know God for all that he is. The same God who created the heavens and the earth, the same God who created the heavens for those who love him and obey him and walk in his statutes is the same God who created hell for those who would reject him and disobey him. And the Bible talks about God one day pouring out his wrath over an unbelieving, sinful, evil world. There will be those that God throws into the lake of fire. And, well, I don't like to think about God like that, Pastor. Why would God do that? Why would a good, loving God throw people into the lake of fire? I know you've asked that question before. Here's the answer. Because he's God. He's God. You can't be God without being everything all the way. If God is only righteous to a limit, he's not God. You got to be righteous all the way. So if God is all righteous, well, you can't be all righteous without having justice for the unrighteous. You can't be all just without having punishment. Just like you can't be all good without having grace. And this is why God gave us grace to those who don't even deserve it. But when that grace is rejected, all that is left is the wrath of God. And if we got any visitors today, I'm sorry that you're walking into a conversation about hell. It's usually a little bit lighter than this. But it still has to be preached. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. It says this, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know what's scary? Listen, please listen. If you haven't heard anything that I've said, listen to this. Because this is what gives me chills when I think about. You know, when we think about hell, we think of it as a place that is totally void of God and his presence. But it's actually the opposite. Hell is the place full of God's presence in the form of his wrath. Hell is the full weight of God's justice upon the world, where he hears the agony, he hears the torment, he sees the guilt and the shame and the cries of those saying, man, if I would have just done right, if I would have just listened to my praying mother who was trying to get me to church all her life, if I would have just given my life to Jesus. And God does nothing, because if he is all righteous, that means that he has to deal with all unrighteous in the form of his justice. So we have no time to fear man. Are you hearing me? We've got no time to fear the culture. We've got no time to fear our own little insecurities and anxieties. Fear the one who has commanded the church to bring the gospel of grace and power and transformation to a world. Otherwise, they will be subject to the wrath of God. This is not something for us to cheer about. You know, there's those Christians that are like, oh, are you going to burn in hell? Ah. No. We don't like them. Right? That's not what this is about. This is about feeling the haste that Jesus is trying to carry over to his disciples. Look, could it be that Jesus, being the full representation of God's mercy and grace and love, being that perfect mediator, as Hebrews says it, knew what was coming on the other side? Did you hear that? Could it be that Jesus, being the representation of God, the side of God that we like to talk about, oh, he's all gracious, all good, all loving, all compassionate. Could it be that Jesus, being the full representation of that, knew what was coming on the other side of that? And so this is why he tells his disciples, look, I need you to go into the towns. And I need you to preach to them the truth. And they're going to drag you before kings. And you're just going to have to get up and you got to keep going. And they're going to beat you and you're going to have to take it. And you're going to have to keep going. And when they chase you off, go to the next city. Because as much as it pains me for somebody to reject the gospel, there might be somebody in the next town ready to receive me. So I need you to go. And I need you to go with haste. And I need you to get up when you fall down. And I need you to do the work, because something is coming. So go with boldness and stop fearing the little things that are making you hesitate. Rather, fear the one who has the power to bring wrath into the world. We should be afraid to fear anything else but God. We don't always do that. And maybe you're saying, Pastor, I don't fear anything. I don't fear no one. Maybe that also includes God. And you say you fear God, but do you really fear God? I'll tell you this. When we tell our daughters to do something and they hesitate and they drag their feet and they do it slowly and they complain and they whine, it's not until we use that serious tone that they start to get serious. And we start to elevate the voice after the 10th time asking. And they're like, dang, I was going to do it. Nah, you didn't fear me the first 10 times I told you. Now the wrath is coming and now you want to fear me. Nah, I think it's like that with God. God has told us as Christians to take this gospel that is so powerful and bring it to an unbelieving world. And we're like, God, I'm done. I don't want to. Leave it to the pastors. Leave it to the preachers. You know what? I'm just going to share a clip that Pastor wrote. That'll be my version of getting out. No. Bring the gospel of truth to the people in your circles. Feel it. God is putting it on you. He's putting it on you. Stop wasting time. Stop making excuses. Stop complaining. Stop saying, I don't know how to do it. Stop saying, I'm not educated. Just do it. Just tell somebody Jesus loves you. Just tell them there is grace for you. Just tell them the truth. There is a hell. But God wants to save you from it. Tell them the truth. And listen, this part of the fear of God, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you're like, oh my God, I got to get saved again today. Look, we don't need to be afraid for ourselves. Let me just say this for the Christians in the room. I'm already walking in the grace of God. Scripture tells me that I am a child of God and I can walk in confidence. Death has no power over me. It's got no sting. It can sting me, but there's no power there. Jesus is not preparing for me a room in hell. He's already got my room prepared at my Father's house. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so I thank God that I walk in the newness of light, and I've been cleansed and sanctified and made holy, but I should still maintain the fear that the wrath of God will be poured out on a generation who does not know him. That should still make us tremble a little bit. And part of God's grace, you know, is sending Jesus to atone for our sins and his commissioning of us into the world to shine as a light. We, the church, listen, we, the church, are a part of God's grace in that we get to warn the world of what's coming. We don't just live in the grace. We are called to be an extension of the grace. Did you realize that? Like, you are an extension of God's grace. Anytime you say, hey, brother, you don't have to stay there that long. You don't have to stay there anymore. You don't have to wallow in your sin. You can come with me and I will take you to my Father's house and I will introduce you to this man named Jesus who loves you and wants to give you hope and a future. You are an extension of God's grace. What a privilege that we get to be co-heirs with him who is Jesus Christ, who saved us. Man. If Jesus feared the Pharisees, if he feared the Sadducees, I wouldn't have grace today. If Jesus feared the Roman soldiers, we wouldn't be singing Amazing Grace. If he feared the cross, if he feared all those years that he went without a bed to sleep on doing his ministry, if he feared the opinions of other people, we would not be standing in the grace of God today. But he feared not doing the will of the Father. And so my challenge to the church today is to bring back the fear of God. Bring back the reverence for his presence, man. Bring back that reverence when we are standing on holy ground. That ground that Moses was told to take off your sandals. Because in the presence of God is holiness. And I'm calling you to it. That means I am inviting you into holiness. We have to have that reverence again for his presence. We have to have reverence again for his word and stop taking things out of context and stop using it as a weapon for our own agendas. We need to have reverence for the word of God that means what it means and not what you want it to mean. We have to have reverence for his will. Because God is going to call you to some things that are uncomfortable. But because I fear being found outside of his will, I say yes. We need not fear anything else, no one else, but he who holds the universe in his hand. Church, man does not have the power that God does. The devil does not have the power that God does. Okay. Christians need to stop going around being afraid of the devil. Stop being afraid of Satan. Oh, it's the devil. He's attacking me. He's after me. Man up, child of God. Man up. Use that voice. Use that voice to rebuke. Use that voice to pray. Use those knees to seek the God Almighty who fights for you. Use what you have been given as a child of God, because you know what? Satan is under my feet. And I can bring the word of the gospel into darkness, but Satan is still under my feet. And he already knows his assignment. He already knows where he's going. He already knows his destiny. But I know mine. I am a child of God, called and commissioned by the Holy Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Revelation 20, 7 through 10. Let me just remind you of this. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, to gather them from battle. Their numbers is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. You hear me? Satan was released. His demons will be released to encamp around the saints and the beloved city. But listen to this part. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The victory has been won already. The story has already been written. And there is nothing for you, man of God, woman of God, to fear when you are doing the very will of God. The very thing God has asked you and commissioned you to do. To be a beacon of light for your family. To be the source of prayer for your marriage. God has commissioned you. You've got nothing to fear. And if you're here today and you're listening to this message and you are in fear of your own soul, I'm about to wrap this up. Listen, if you're here, you heard this message and you don't know what's going on. You're in fear of your own soul. Let me just tell you, God does love you. Man, God loves you so much. He is so good. He sent his only son to die for you. He knew you by name before anybody knew your name. He saw you. And he made it possible for you to receive his grace through the blood of Jesus that was shed for your sake. God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to give you an eternal hope and a future. But the fear that you have of God's wrath is real. But I also want to tell you that that fear doesn't have to belong to you. If you take the grace that has been extended today, if you accept Jesus and you begin to walk with him, you might not have all the answers right away. You might still stumble plenty of times. You might still be tempted plenty of times. You might sin plenty of times. But you agree to walk with Jesus and making him Savior and Lord of your life. You don't have this to fear for yourself. And so what I want to do right now, before we do anything else, I want to ask that you would close your eyes, bow your head with me. And if that's you today, maybe this sermon spoke directly to you. And if you were to die today, or if Jesus were to return today, you are not sure where your soul would wind up. But you believe enough to have fear in him. And you also believe enough to give your heart to him. And if that's you this morning, and you're not currently walking with the Lord, and you want to make him Lord and Savior over your life, would you raise your hand right there where you're at? Would you raise your hand if that's you this morning? Keep it high for me, please. Come on, keep him high for me, please. Amen. Amen. 5, 6. Praise God. Praise God.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.